Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining me now is JJ Regan of NBC Sports Washington. He covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. You can find him on Twitter at JJ Regan NBCS. JJ, once again, welcome back to Unleashing Fury, and thank you so much for your time.
Sure, no problem.
Well, obviously, it is down to 16 teams, and the ultimate goal is to raise the Stanley Cup in early June, and the Caps are going to begin their defense of that Stanley Cup championship. And just some personnel things, at least with the Caps, you know, obviously Monday didn't seem to be Lars Eller's day. I understand his car broke down as he was en route to do a radio interview that morning. And then the team, knowing that, you know, they still had a couple of days to go before the series with Carolina kicks off, they sent him home, or they let him leave practice early on Monday. And so I understand the team has come out and said that It was a quote unquote maintenance day. So I guess from your point of view, is there cause for concern for Eller going into the start of this series? And even though it doesn't seem like a necessarily a big deal, should it be seen as such?
No, I think they avoided anything major there. I mean, unless you're superstitious, that was not a great way to start off practice for the postseason. He had to actually leave his car in the middle of the road and got a ride from Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was a couple cars behind him, and saw what was going on. But yeah, he left practice on Monday. Coach said there was no big issue there. It was just a maintenance thing. And he was actually on the ice today, on Tuesday, for the optional practice. Spoke with him afterwards, and he said there was nothing to worry about. He didn't feel any pain anymore. It was just one of those things where he didn't feel like he should push it with a few days before the game one. He said he has no pain. Everything's fine. He's going to be fine for game one.
Awesome. That's great news, especially for fans everywhere and looking elsewhere. With Michael Kempney being out with his injury, that definitely has shaken things up a little bit for the Caps moving ahead, getting ready to kick off the postseason. And obviously his absence will certainly be felt and noticed. I guess from your perspective, what kind of impact does the Kempney injury have on this group, knowing what he's contributed to the success of the team last season and throughout much of 2018 and 2019?
Right. Well, the Kempney injury is a significant one. He was on the top pairing playing alongside John Carlson before they acquired him last season. They had a tough time finding a partner to play who could play well with John Carlson. John Carlson, one of the best defensemen in the NHL, but for whatever reason, they can't seem to find a partner that seems to gel well with him until they found Kempney. Kempney was really the perfect fit. So it's significant. And the problem is that they lost him close enough to the start of the playoffs that they haven't really figured out how to replace him yet. They haven't had enough time to figure out exactly what to do. Now, it looks like what they're going to do is they're going to play John Carlson with newly acquired Nick Jensen. The issue there is that both defensemen are right shots, and so Carlson is actually going to be playing on the left side. That takes some adjusting, and I'm not sure if that's actually the right move to make, to have your top defenseman at a disadvantage going into the series. I don't think it's going to necessarily cost them against Carolina, a team that doesn't have a whole lot of offensive depth. They have weapons, but I don't think they really have the depth to really make Washington pay But it's going to be something to watch if the true solution is going to be playing Carlson on his offhand, or if Todd Reardon is going to have to make a change and start putting guys in that top pairing. Yeah, if it doesn't work, we're going to see Christian Jews on the top pair. We're going to see Brooks Orpik on the top pair. We're going to see a bunch of players playing time on that top pairing. And I think it's going to be more of a platoon sort of thing. But we'll have to wait and see just how long playing him on the left side lasts.
You did mention Nick Jensen. I'm going to give you a couple of other names. Chandler Stephenson, Nick Dowd, Brett Connolly, including Nick Jensen. Which one of those guys are you looking for to make the biggest impact in this opening series?
You know, by the nature of his position, it would probably be Nick Jensen, just because defensemen are more valuable than those wingers. But among the forwards, probably Brett Connolly, who's been one of the better players, more consistent players for this team all season long. He reached the 20-goal mark this season, one of seven Capitals players to do so. He's really been a force for them. And on that third line, you know, they moved Jacob Vrana down to that third line. I think that's going to be an issue for Carolina as well. You know how loaded the Caps are in the top six. Carolina is very good defensively. They have the defense sort of slow that top six down. But when you're looking at a third line as dangerous as Jacob Vrana, Lars Eller, and Brett Connolly, it's going to be really hard for Carolina to stop. When they're worried about guys like Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Backstrom, and then still have to worry about a third line as offensively potent as that, that's a very dangerous combination for the Capitals.
And it is interesting that, you know, that there is so much in terms of the forwards, that top six to worry about for Carolina. With the Capitals, at least from a performance perspective, and we talked about this when we talked in January about the team's tendency to take too many penalties and having an effect on their penalty kill. Looking at the stats, the Caps, I think, were seventh in the league in total penalties. Over the course of the final stretch of this regular season, the number of penalties per game that the minor penalties that they started to take started to dwindle a little bit. And I asked this question on Monday. I was watching the Capitals talk live stream from Media Day at Kettler on Monday. So I'll ask this to you. Knowing how big of an issue the penalties had been and the penalty kill, what do you see them doing in order to remain disciplined without having to compromise sort of that physical toughness and just the tough nature with which they present themselves on the ice and how that makes them such a difficult opponent to play?
Right. So they're definitely going to have to be a bit more disciplined in the playoffs. Now, the good news for them is that the referees have a tendency to put the whistles away and allow more to go during the playoffs. And so that will definitely benefit them, especially the physical style that they like to play, as you alluded to. From a completely cynical standpoint, not having Michael Kempney, you can never say that's a good thing for this team, but he was a guy who took a lot of penalties. That if I had one criticism of him this season, it was that he took far too many penalties. So not having him in the lineup will actually help in that respect. And the one other thing that you have to keep in mind is the addition of Carl Hagelin makes them such a much better penalty kill team. He came onto the team and instantly became their best penalty killer. The penalty kill really transformed when they acquired him. It's really amazing to watch there. So that definitely helps. You know, it doesn't help to the respect that you can do whatever you want and take as many penalties as you want, and it doesn't matter. They still have to be disciplined, but it certainly does help. And, of course, the one thing also, Tom Wilson. Last year he got suspended for the start of the season. He stayed out of the trouble the entire regular season, and then he got suspended in the playoffs for the hit to Zach Aston-Reese. And there were two hits before that were on the border that some people thought he should have been suspended for. So he was really flirting with disaster there. This year, similar thing. Got suspended for the start of the season, stayed out of trouble for the regular season, and now that we've got the playoffs, he cannot afford to take a suspension like that, because it will be more than three games. It will be a significant suspension. And he's just too important of a player to this team. So he's someone who definitely has to stay disciplined as well.
Yeah, that was definitely sort of a big storyline, obviously, with the news of that 20-game suspension being handed down, you know, on the opening night of the season. Do you think that the coaching staff has sort of used that as a carrot to dangle over him throughout the rest of the regular season, saying, hey, you need to be aware that even though, you know, you've played fine the last 60 games or however many games you played, you need to still keep in mind, especially moving forward into the postseason, that, you know, one questionable hit and the league is probably still looking to send a message to a guy that has that history of those devastating hits that, you know, seem to toe the line between what NHL player safety deems is not suitable for the game and what is okay.
Right. So I don't know if they've had that conversation, but I'd be surprised if they hadn't at least mentioned it to him. And probably not as much as you would expect because he's got to be aware of that himself. When you get a suspension of 20 games, yes, it was reduced to 14, but that is a clear message from the league that you got to change, because the next suspension could be 40 games. It could be half a season. You know, it could keep him out for the entire playoffs. So I'm sure they've mentioned it at least a little bit, but probably he's well aware that when you get a number that significant, when you get a suspension that high, that you have no margin for error. You cannot make a borderline hit and hope that they just rule in your favor, because you've lost the benefit of the doubt. Now, yes, he managed to stay out of trouble in the regular season, and that's good and that's commendable. But when the playoffs come around, when it's more physical, when everything matters more, he's got to be able to behave himself, because it's really going to cost the team if he doesn't. So I'm sure that they've at least mentioned it to him, but I'm sure it's something that he is well aware of himself.
Well, you've had the chance to, I mean, you've been around this team all year, and you were at Kettler Monday and Tuesday. So I guess from your perspective, what is sort of the attitude of these guys getting ready to kick off what is hopefully going to be a months long campaign to win another championship?
Yeah, it's confident. You can see all the confidence there, but everything is a bit muted. There's not any sense of overconfidence. There's not any sense of you know, oh, we're being disrespected, because they are still sort of flying under the radar, despite how good they are and despite being the defending champions, just because of how good Tampa Bay was. I think there's a mentality of, okay, let's get down to business. You know, for so long here, every time we get to the fall, you're excited for the regular season for about a week, and then you say, okay, let's fast forward to April. Now that they're the defending champions, they knew they were going to get to this point. And now that they know what it takes to actually win, now they're ready to get down to business. I think there's a sense of really determination and ready to finally play games that matter again. Not that the regular season didn't matter, but like I said, they knew they were going to get to this point. They knew they were going to be in the playoffs. And I think now they're just ready to get started again, because, you know, the playoffs are fun, and it didn't feel like that for Washington for so long just because of all the struggles they had in the playoffs. But I think this reminded them of how fun it was. So I think everything is a little muted right now. They're not celebrating that they've made it this far. I think they're just ready to get started.
We're talking with J.J. Regan of NBC Sports Washington. And J.J., looking ahead on the flip side of this, looking at Carolina, for those listeners who may not have followed the Hurricanes, you know, quite as closely throughout the year, who are some guys that you're going to be looking at to expect to make some contributions for this Hurricanes team that hasn't been in the playoffs for over a decade? As things get ready to kick off on Thursday.
Well, so Sebastian Aho is the top guy for sure. He's the best player on their team. He's a legitimate superstar, and he's always someone who seems to play well against the Capitals. You know, it felt in many ways last year like the Columbus series was sort of a coming out for Artemi Panarin as a superstar. This could be similar to that for Sebastian Aho, a guy who people who are around the league know is very good, but maybe not. Maybe he's not a household name yet. He has to have a good series for Carolina to remain competitive in this at all. There's, of course, the former Capital Justin Williams, who obviously knows how to be successful in the postseason. So, you know, that even though Carolina hasn't been there for a long time, he's someone who brings veteran experience, perhaps more veteran experience than I think many people would expect for a team that hasn't been in the postseason for so long. And the same thing with Jordan Staal. He's won a few rings as well. Really, one of the big keys, however, is going to be in net with Peter Mrazek. I expect him to be the starter. Carolina's really gone with a goalie tandem for much of the season, but he's been great down the stretch. He's been one of the hottest goalies in the league since March. But he's a hit-or-miss, sink-or-swim type of goalie. Yeah, as good as he's been in March, I don't think anyone would go into this series thinking that Carolina has anything close to the edge in net mining over a guy like Braden Holtby. So, you know, I think there's a good chance that we could see Caris McElhinney pretty soon in this series. I'd be stunned if we don't see both goalies at some point. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out for as well. If Peter Mrazek plays all the way through, that means things are going badly for the Capitals.
These guys, the Hurricanes and the Capitals, have faced off a few times over the course of the regular season, especially being division foes, like they always have. So knowing that, and knowing that, you know, things are taken to 11 on the scale when it comes to the playoffs, what kind of game intensity-wise should we expect to see from the Hurricanes, especially knowing that they're coming into D.C. and they're going to try and do what Columbus did last year and try and really steal all the momentum by winning two games at Capital One Arena?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what Carolina looks like coming into this series. They're not a heavy team. They're not a physical team like Carolina, like Columbus was. So they're not going to go hit for hit with Washington. But they do lead the league in shots on goal per game. So they may come into games one and two and just fire from every direction at Braden Holtby and hope that they get some bounces to go their way. If they don't, then this could be a pretty short series. But, you know, they may just come out swinging and see if they can get some early pucks past Braden Holtby and build some confidence. Because really, this team's strength is in their defense. If they can come out and build some leads in these first few games, they can maybe sit on it and hope that they can wait Washington out. You know, really, if you're Carolina, you're playing with house money right now. So that's got to be a little bit liberating. You know, you made it this far. I'm not saying that they're just happy to be there, but there is a liberating sense in knowing that you've made it this far. No one expected you to. So I expect them to come out shooting a lot in games one and game two, knowing that really if they steal one game, then they've got a chance in this series.
Yeah, as I understand, they've had like one of the best records in the league, at least since New Year's Day. So, you know, they really found something and ran with it throughout the course of the second half of the season. And, you know, their journey to the postseason certainly is commendable. As you look at the series as a whole, how important is it for them, or what should their mindset be in terms of, you know, taking the series back to Carolina? Should they be pleased if the series is tied 1-1 when they head down to Raleigh on Monday, or, you know, what should their mindset be?
Considering that few people are giving them a chance to win this series, I think you've got to be over the moon if you come back to Carolina with this series tied. The issue for them is that while that may have bothered the Capitals in the past, while that may have made Washington question whether this would be another short postseason like it did in the past, they're not going to care this time. You know, they came down from an 0-2 hole against Columbus after losing both game one and game two in Washington, and they still won that series. In four series last season, they lost game one 3 out of 4 times. So being in a series deficit doesn't seem to bother the Caps anymore. And in fact, they're a team that really excels on the road. They won more road games in the playoffs last year than they did at home. So, you know, if you're Carolina, yeah, of course you're going to be happy if you come back to Carolina with a series tie. And, you know, for them, it's got to make them feel like mission accomplished, like they did what they were hoping to do. But for Washington, of course you want to win every game, but I don't think they're going to start feeling pressure until Carolina gets the 3 games and they push to the edge, which I really don't see happening. I think Washington breezes through this series pretty easily.
All right. And so with that, I guess what kind of formal prediction can I get from you? If you are a betting man, do you think it's 5 games or does it potentially go 6 games or does Washington get the sweep?
So because hockey is such a crazy sport, I don't think I would ever call for a sweep ever, but I don't think Carolina can match Washington's offensive depth. I think Washington is just as deep defensively, and I give Washington a serious edge in net. I think while Carolina may not be just happy to be there now, I think they may feel that way 2 or 3 games into the series. I think they're not a heavy team. They're going to get pushed around a little bit. They're going to get scored on a lot. And I think the Capitals breeze through this first series in 5 games. Now, Washington never seems to make it easy on themselves. They only won 1 series last year in 5 games, and that was the series against Vegas. But I think this is one that they should win pretty handily. So I give it Washington in 5.
Awesome. Well, that is J.J. Regan of NBC Sports Washington. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at J.J. Regan NBCS. J.J., thank you so much for your time. I'm looking forward to getting up to D.C. myself on Thursday, so I'll definitely come by and say hello. And hopefully we can catch up again soon and hopefully potentially help preview a conference semifinal series.
Sounds good. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.